السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب وفجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون. These are verses number 33 35. If you remember, possibly, in our last session, when we reached to these ayat, we discussed about the meanings, different meanings of ayah in the Quran. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ. We said that ayah is used in the Quran in four different meanings. It means a sign, it means a verse, it means a proof, and it means a miracle. And although the roots, the origin for all these meanings is the same thing, but when it is used in different contexts, it denotes these different senses. Now, coming to these particular ayat mentioned here, from verse number 33 to the verse number 43, there are three signs of bounties, grace, and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here. Of course, there are more than three, but Allah has put some bunch of ayat into one group as and mention them as one ayah. Here from verse number 33 to 36, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةِ. A sign for them is the dead earth, which we give life to it. And then it comes to verse 37, then there is another ayah, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ. Another sign for them is the night. نَسْلَهُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارِ. We pull out the day from it. And then there are some ayats related to this ayah. And in verse 41, another set of ayat is mentioned. وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ أَنَّا حَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونِ. And another sign for them is that we carried their seeds or their beloved ones in a filled sheep carrier. And then it continues, which we discuss all these inshallah in the following weeks. Now we want to talk about these first sets of ayat mentioned here today. And a sign to them is the dead earth. We give life to it and bring forth from it grain, so they eat of it. And we make therein gardens of palms and grapevines, and we make springs to flow forth in it, that they may eat of the fruit thereof, and their hands did not make it. Will they not then be grateful? These are one set of ayat mentioned as one single sign for us to take heed and to understand. Now, the dead earth, Allah gives life to it. You know that lots of similarities are taken in the Quran between this very fact of giving life to the earth after it dies and the day of resurrection, when Allah gives life to us again when we come forth on the day of judgment. Now, it is not just a metaphor. Allah really gives life back to the earth. Life is movement, is freshness, and is from life that life comes. I mean, when we eat the grains from the earth, we sustain our life and our life continues. It is, of course, a much, much lower level of life that we find on the earth, in the plants. But it is still life, and this life comes from Allah. You know that all life comes from Allah. He is the only living being. All life comes from Him. We actually get our life from His life. Well, so to speak, of course, it's very, very difficult to understand the relationship between these two, the creature and the creator. But He is the only living being. Doesn't He say this in Ayatul Kursi? Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy. He is the only living being. Al-Qayyum. The only being which sustains everything. Okay? So, the life which we see on the earth, it doesn't come out of nothing. It doesn't, because we usually don't go very deep into the causes and effects. We see the immediate cause and the immediate effect of everything. But if we go deeper and deeper into these things, we will find that there should be a source giving all these freshness and life to everything, every year, every season. So if you ponder carefully, then you will find that this is a real sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see every season the life comes back to the earth. And then what comes out of this life? وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا. And we bring out of this earth a grain. Okay, of course, there are myriads of millions of grains coming out, but they are all the same thing. It's the grain that comes out. And it is the grain that gives us our lives, isn't it? If the grain is not there, no animal to eat, no vegetable to eat, and then we die. So it's just, I mean, it's very nice, literally, to use the singular word for hab. وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا. Just a grain we bring out of this earth. فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ. And they eat from it. And they live. And this is very strange, isn't it? It's just, well, as we see it, a worthless, a valueless, some grain that comes out of the earth. And we eat from it. And we live, we are sustained, we continue. Isn't there an ayah in this? And it's not only these grains, of course. Then when Allah creates, He creates in abundance. It's not just one kind of grain. It's lots and lots of kinds of grains. But it all comes back to this. I mean, the very fact that Allah starts from a very, very simple thing. And we have brought out a grain from the earth. And they eat from it. But of course, this grain has lots of different kinds, different types, and it's not only the grains, there are fruits and other things coming out of this life, which is given again to the earth. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. And we make therein gardens. Of course, these are luxuries of our life, isn't it? I mean, we could have sustained just with grains, but Allah doesn't want it. He wants us to be in luxury, and we are in luxury actually. And وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. And, well, only palm, dates, and of course grapes are mentioned here, because these are very sustaining kind of fruits, and there are other kinds of fruits mentioned in other parts of the Quran as well. So, and we made therein gardens of palms and vineyards, وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونَ, and make springs to gush forth from it. And all this, and water is actually a source for life on the earth, isn't it? So all this life which comes, and you see all these luxuries in eating, different types and other things, is just to sustain you on this earth. Now, why we have done all these? Why we give life every year to the earth again and again? لَيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, so that they eat from its fruits. Now, there is of course an exegetical problem here, because for those of you who know Arabic, there is a problem here in this verse, because all the pronouns go back to the earth. أرض. Well, earth and earth, I think they come from one root. It's the Arabic which the English use as well, earth from arz. Now, arz is feminine in Arabic literature, and you see وَآيَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا, the feminine pronoun is used, we have given life to it. وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا, not مِنْهُ, again the feminine is used. Now here it says لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, while it should have been ثَمَرَهَا, shouldn't it, because it's from the earth, isn't it, so that they eat from its fruit, the fruits that it brings forth for you. Now the exegetes have explained this in many different ways. One very simple explanation is that the pronoun doesn't go back to the earth, goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fruits that Allah creates, min thamarihi, the fruits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not very nice. I mean, we usually do not attribute these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So other exegesis says that min thamari ma dhukir, the fruits of whatever is mentioned above. So that he just doesn't want to say from the fruits of the earth, from the fruits of the earth, of those gardens, jannat. Now jannah, I don't know whether I mentioned this before or not. Jannah, which is garden, and of course is used for the eternal garden in the other life, in the next life. It is called Jannah. We don't call any garden to be Jannah. A garden which is completely covered by trees or by other things, by bushes and other things, we call that Jannah, because Jann means to cover. Jannah means to cover. Something which is covered, which is under something else. So, for example, someone who is mad, what do we call him in Arabic? What do we call a mad person in Arabic? Majnoon, because their mind or their intellect are covered, so they are Majnoon. And Jinn, the creatures which we do not see, we call them Jinn. Don't think that Jinn is just one kind of creature. There are myriads of kinds of creatures which we don't see, and we call all of them Jinn. They are covered from us, they are hidden from us. And Jannah, of course, the Jannah which you go, inshallah, after you die, is not just a garden with a few trees and some sort of shades that you have to seek refuge in. No, it's covered from all mudham, matan, as you hear in Surah Ar-Rahman. It is like a black earth when you see it from above, because of the abundance of the trees and other things. So Jannah is a garden which is full of trees. Now, the exegetes say that why the pronoun is changed, is shifted from feminine to masculine, it is because Allah doesn't want to say only to eat from the fruits of the earth. From the fruits of the earth, and the branches of the earth, like these gardens of A'nab and Nakhil and other things. So this is how they have explained this difficulty here. لَيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Now this also has two different meanings. Now for the benefit of those of you who know Arabic, so I don't want really to go deep into Arabic analysis of the verses, because not everyone here would benefit from it. Just some glimpses of most important aspects. وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Now, ma in Arabic is used in two different senses, in many different senses. Two of them is for negation, to make the sentence negative, and is مَوْسُولَ, so like الَّذِي. Now, if we take it for negation, it means وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, and their hands have not made them. And if we take it to be a mawsulama, it says وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ, so لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, to eat from its fruits, and from what their hands, so here it means what, from what their hands have made and have created. Now, both senses are permissible. Now, first, we know that we have not created anything on this earth. What we do by farming, we just prepare, we just somehow act as a catalyst to produce in abundance these grains and fruits and others. Otherwise, we have not created the genes for these different species. We have not created the genes for grapes, for dates, for different kinds of grains and fruits. They are all created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We just plant the seed, and we do it in a massive kind of production with our new technology. And it's not our work actually, it's Allah's work. And even when we sow the seed in the earth, it's not us who bring it up, who make it to flourish and go and come out of the earth. It's Allah's work again. If you remember the verses in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which talks, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ, do you not see what you sow in the earth? أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الزَّارِعُونَ, do you make them to crop out of the earth, or it's us who do it? Of course, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does it. We just hide the seed under the soil, and then it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who continues in working on it. So this is a better sense, in my opinion, that we take ma for negation, and it's not your hands which has done anything about it. It's Allah who does all these. وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Now, if we take it mausula again, it's okay. I mean, you see all these crop up by themselves, and you work on it. So you eat from their fruits and the fruit of your own hands. Of course, you have to work on it. You have to do something to produce your sustenance and other things. I don't like this latter kind of explanation, which some exegetes have elaborated on it. The former one is much better, that your hands have not done anything about it. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does all these. لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Do they not give thanks? Are they not grateful? Are they not thankful? Now, about giving thanksgiving, or being grateful to God, there is a problem. And that is, first of all, what is thanksgiving? I mean, how could we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you thank someone, when you, especially in social relations, in our daily lives, when we want to thank someone, we usually compensate what they do for us in one way or another. We try to do that. The least is that we go and tell other people that he has done such and such good to me, and then we, of course, give them a better position in the eyes of people. This is the least that we can do about someone. Well, of course, if we are really vicious and someone does good to us, and we do not want to tell people or to let anyone know about it. Or even some people, of course, when you do good to them, they do bad to you. Okay, that's a different thing. Now, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not the case. We cannot compensate anything, because we don't have anything. Whatever we have is created by Him. Whatever we have is His own bounty. So we never ever can compensate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything. So we have to take this out of our consideration. Now, the other meaning is that, okay, we, in our heart, we are grateful to Him. And this is probably the only meaning of thank that we can imagine in our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our hearts, we are grateful to Him. And when you are grateful, you remember it all the time, don't you? I mean, when someone does good to you, and you remember it, and you are grateful in your heart, and you are grateful in your heart, you time and again remember that such and such person has done such and such good to me. Now, is it compulsory for us to have this sense in our hearts in our relations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, does it have any outcome? I mean, if, because Allah, well, does not expect anything from us in compensation on or in return for what He has given us. So why should we be have this attitude, this quality in our heart all the time, remembering, reminding ourselves that this is what God has given you. Be grateful to Him. And what change would it bring about if we are not grateful to these bounties? I mean, in one way or another, He's going to give all these bounties to us. He has given the bounties to those who are not grateful, who do not remember Him at all. Okay? So, why we are times and again reminded in the Quran, by all the prophets, by all the saints, that you have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one thing is that gratefulness is a human attitude and quality. It is in our fitrah. If we do not have this attitude, we are not human. We have gone out of human boundaries. I want to mention one very, very interesting and beautiful piece of literature from Sahih al-Sajjadi, by Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. When he talks about this giving praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, this is in the first supplication of As-Sahif As-Sajjadiyyah. He says, Alhamdulillah alladhi lahu habasa an ibadihi ma'rifata hamdihi ala ma ablahum min minanihi al-mutatabi'ah wa asbaqa alayhim min na'amihi al-mutadahirah latasarrafu fi minanihi falam yahmaduh wa tawassa'u fi rizqihi falam yashkuruh ولو كانوا كذلك لخرجوا من حدود الإنسانية إلى حد البهيمية. Now the meaning is that blessing let me find the meaning here. Yeah. All praise is due to God, for had He withheld the consciousness of His praiseworthiness from His creatures, so we did not know that we have to praise Him, we have to be grateful to Him. If we didn't know that, had He withheld the consciousness of His praiseworthiness from His creatures, they would have ungratefully enjoyed His blessings for all that He had conferred upon them of His recurrent favors, and they would have prospered in His gifts without ever thanking Him. This is a kind of consciousness put in our fitrah. And were they to be such, if they didn't have this consciousness, they would certainly have gone beyond the bounds of humanity into the frontiers of beastliness, and they would have conformed to the description which He has given in His unique book, saying, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْعَنْعَامْ بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلُّ سَبِيلًا. What are they except like brutes, or even more aberrant from the way? So this thanksgiving, this gratefulness which we feel in our hearts when we are confronted with someone or something which does good to us is in our fitrah. Now, you all of you have heard this hadith, very famous one. When man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khalq, the one who does not give thanks to the creatures would never give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the creator. Now, some of us, of course, it's good that anything coming to us, we see it from God, but we have to see the media as well. There are some people who do good to us, of course. Every good comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the media, we have to be grateful to them as well. Now, if someone does good to us and we are not grateful, we do not give thanks, the hadith says, if you are as such, you are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Either you thank the makhluq, the creatures, or you cannot give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. the meaning is usually misunderstood. The meaning is that if you do not have this conscience, the consciousness of giving thanks to creatures, how you want to give thanks to your Creator while you don't have, you lack that consciousness in your heart, in your mind. So it's the quality, if it is missing, you do not give thanks to creatures, you do not give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is there in place, if you have not hidden it under the abundance of your sins, then of course the slightest mercy, the slightest good thing you see from someone, you give thanks, and of course you give thanks to your Creator as well, because you have that quality, that attitude in your heart. Now, so this is something innate, inherent in our nature, that we give thanks to someone who does good to us. But this is not there in place in vain, without any purpose. Now, the point is, of course, we know why we should thank each other in this life, because if someone does good to us, well, the least thing to say. If someone does good to us and we do bad to them, then people would never do good to each other. So this is a kind of social relationship, mutual kind of respect and gratefulness for each other. Although some people do not see this either. They only are grateful because of the very nature which are placed in their hearts. Now, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we are not grateful, well, first of all, about the meaning of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, we brought this out about earlier, that the only way to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just to know that what you use, what you have, what you are sustained with is from Him. That's all. Nothing else. You can't do anything else. Don't think that, well, I pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is for yourself. I fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is for yourself. But there is one thing in it. If you fast and pray and you obey, it means that you know that you have to obey. Why you have to obey? Because you receive lots of bounties from Him. Because you are grateful to Him, so you obey Him. So, of course, the root of thanksgiving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to this, that you know that whatever you receive is from Him. That is the only knowledge or acknowledgement, not knowledge, acknowledgement, that what you receive is from Him. Now, if we have this acknowledgement, then it has some implications. In lots of ahadith, I only want to mention three hadiths here about this shukr and what are the implications of this acknowledgement. That you acknowledge, you confess that whatever you have is from Him. This is the thanksgiving. If you know this, if you have this attitude, you have given thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, but the least implication of this is, as Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam says, أَقَلُّ مَا يَجِبُ لِلْمُنْعِمْ أَلَّا يُؤْصَى بِنِعْمَةٍ. The least implication of this acknowledgement is that you do not disobey Him with what He has given you. Okay? He has given you eyes. Okay? How can you give thanks for that? What amount of wealth you are prepared to spend if you lose your eyes and you know that someone could bring it back to you? You can, well, any one of us would have given anything in this world to bring back the sight to our eyes if it is lost, God forbid. Now, so it is a great bounty. If you know that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have given your thanks, you are grateful. Now, the least implication is that you do not disobey Allah with your eyes. You are given intellect. Well, sometimes you go around and see mad people and you say thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have intellect. And you know that this has come from Him. All intelligence. If you are a genius person, whatever you have in your mind has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the least implication of this gratefulness is that you do not disobey Him with what He has given you. And in another hadith, Imam al-Sadiq says, "Shukrun ni'ma ishtanabul mahar." Of course, this is the implication. To give thanks for a ni'mah means you avoid sinning, you avoid disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as you know, whatever Allah has asked from us in terms of duties is for ourselves, not for Him. And sometimes, well, we are very simple-minded. For example, we say, "Oh Allah, if you give this to me, if you give such and such to me, I would fast for 1 month." And then we think that we are compensating what Allah has given us with that 1 month fast. But who would benefit from that 1 month fast? Us, again, isn't it? I mean, even the nazar that we make, and we want to make a compensation for what we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we say that, "Oh Allah, if you, for example, do such and such, I would never disobey you in this regard or in such and such respect." And who would benefit from it? It's us, isn't it? Or if you do something, I will give £100,000 to the poor. Okay, who would benefit from it? First of all, it's us who give. And second, those who receive, isn't it? So whatever Allah has set as our duties, the benefit would return to ourselves. And He wants us to give thanks, to be grateful, because the benefit of this gratefulness returns to us. Now, two verses in the Quran I mentioned, there are many other verses as well. In Surah Luqman, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةِ, gave Luqman wisdom. And the most important aspect of his wisdom was أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a must. We must be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although if you are not grateful, He does not stop giving what He was giving before to us. But this has been ordained, has been put as a duty, أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. Then immediately he says, this is not for me. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ, whoever is grateful is for him, is for them. It benefits them if they are grateful. Now, why gratefulness would benefit us rather than Allah? Well, we know that it doesn't benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In what way, in what sense it benefits us? Now, if we are grateful, and if we have the implications of this gratefulness in mind, that we do not disobey with the ni'mah of Allah, we disobey Allah with His ni'mah, we do not misuse His ni'mah, then He opens the doors to us for other ni'mah. I mean, if you give a sword to someone, and that someone would go out and start killing people with that sword, you are not going to give a more dangerous gun to them, are you? But if you give a sword to someone and that someone defends the life of other people with that sword, you might consider giving them a more powerful gun to defend people. I mean, this is just a simple example which we can mention, and we can imagine how when you give someone something and they use it in its best way, you are quite prepared and willing to give them more to use it in the same way. And if you give someone something and they misuse it, you stop. Or you are not willing to give more anyhow. So this is the meaning of لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase my bounties to you. And of course, وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ. And if you are ungrateful, we give you respite. to do whatever you want in this life. But inna azabi lashadid. Then you will be punished for those bounties which I have given you. Not because, of course, you are not grateful, but because you misused them. Now, in Surah Naml as well, it says, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. The same thing. It's very recurrent in the Quran that whoever gives thanks has given thanks for themselves. Now, this gratefulness sometimes takes human being to an unimaginable place, unfathomable levels of bounties which Allah gives to His creatures. Like Ibrahim. The most important aspect of Ibrahim Allah mentions in the Quran in Surah Nahl. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan. He was very obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was only, his attention was only directed towards him. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. He was grateful to his bounties. This is very important. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. And Sulaiman, you see, when he sees the innumerable bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he thinks that he is not able even to be grateful. I mean, sometimes everyone knows that they cannot compensate what Allah gives them. But sometimes you feel that you are not able even to be grateful because you do not know the level and the enormity of the ni'mah that Allah has given you. In one very, very beautiful hadith from Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, I like this hadith very much. He says, لَا يَعْرِفُ النِّعْمَ إِلَّا شَاكَرٌ وَلَا يَشْكُرُ النِّعْمَ إِلَّا الْعَارِفُ. No one but the one who is grateful knows what is the enormity of ni'mah. I mean, if you are really grateful, you know what is the enormity of ni'mah. And no one can really be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but the one who knows the enormity. It's a kind of dialectic paradox here that if you do not know what's the enormity of the ni'mah, you could not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are not grateful, you can never know what is the enormity of the ni'mah. I mean, some of us take everything that we have for granted and we are not grateful because we do not realize the enormity of the bounties that Allah has given us. We only see the thing that we lack, we don't have. And then we say, okay, what ni'mah Allah has given me? I'm poorer than that, I'm less intelligent than that. Always we see the thing that we don't have. And this is because we do not know the enormity of the ni'mah that Allah has given to each one of us. So the enormity of the ni'mah is not realized but by the one who is shakir. And of course, you cannot be shakir before you know the enormity of the ni'mah. So this is a paradox, really, that we have to solve and resolve in ourselves. Now, I was talking about Sulaiman. In the enormity of the ni'mah that he was immersed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last thing he saw was that an ant, Naml, was talking about the taqwa of Sulaiman. And this was a great ni'mah from Allah that even an ant was talking about the piety of Sulaiman. Hatta idha ata wadi an-naml qalat namlatun ya ayyuha an-naml udkhulu masakinakum la yahtamannakum Sulaiman wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. Get into your underground places of abode because you might get crushed by Sulaiman and his army without them knowing. Well, they knew that Sulaiman, knowing he's not ever going to crush a Naml, but they talked in such a way that لا يحتمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون ولا يعلمون. And then فتبسم ضاحكا من قوله. Sulaiman, upon hearing this, started to smile and said, رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي. Put this quality in me that I can give thanks, be grateful to the bounties in which you have immersed me. And of course, we cannot do that unless we know what is the enormity of the ni'mah in which we are in. So, after mentioning all these, of course, these are enormous ni'mas. We just take them for granted. لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ وَمَا عَمِلَتْهُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Are they not grateful? Do they not want to give thanks? And there are other things, of course, mentioned in the Quran. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. He has put for you eyes and ears and hearts. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. How less you are, how little you pay thanks, you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi.
Brothers and sisters, we have about 15 minutes for question and answer. Please try to use the mics, and if you don't, if there is no mic near you, please ask for the mic. Okay, can we start with the question and answer? The mic is in front of you, you want to start. Sisters, brothers, and Sarfraz? Yeah, there's a mic behind you, yeah, or in front.
When you were saying the example of the fruits from that, and you were saying, well, it didn't refer to because it was masculine and not feminine, could it not have referred to the seed? Habba. And that could be a metaphor for everything that, even that we create, the seed of it is from Allah. So tomorrow, for example, you said that we don't have the genes. Well, tomorrow maybe we will. But Allah is Badi'u Samawat. Even the beginning of that is from Him.
Yeah.
This could it be? I don't know if Habban is masculine.
It is masculine. Yes. Yes, it's a nice explanation. Yeah. We have to add this into books of exegesis, inshallah.
Then what would be the reason that happened? There must be a reason, I mean.
No, maybe, well, they didn't take it that important, probably, so that to min thamar al-habba. Because hab itself is a thamar, isn't it? Maybe this is the reason, but in another sense we could say that, yes, the thamar of hab is when we sow it again, and we have this the product of it, which are more seeds. Yeah, it is possible. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. To be grateful always, all the time, but to Allah. But as you said, we just understand our eyes. Importance and how it's a great thing when we lost our eyes, when we became blind. So we can't keep our gratefulness all the time. So how can we do it? You know, how can we be grateful all the time? How Ibrahim, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the grateful, or just focused on to Allah. He was the most important thing, you know. He always keep this gratefulness to him.
Yeah. I mean, what Quran tells us is that we have to think and ponder all the time throughout our lives. We shouldn't take everything for granted. We shouldn't get indulged only in our immediate needs and in our pleasures. We have to think about the roots of everything, and this is why, for example, لَآيَاتٍ لَقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. There are signs in these things for people who ponder, who think. And using our intellects and to be vigilant all the time. This is very, very important. Religion, all religions actually demand us to be vigilant about what goes around us, about what goes inside our souls, what is in our body. So this is very important. And if someone does not think and does not ponder, certainly they are not regarded as a standard human beings. And this is why they are taken out of the limits of humanity to the boundaries of beastliness, as Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam is mentioning. So it is very important not to be carried away, but by the ni'mas that we use all the time, not thinking about them. It is important always when we use a ni'mah, when we want to do something, in the morning when we get up, in the evening when we want to go to bed, we think about all these things. This is the root of all good preached by all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just to develop this a little further, I mean, this quality or these qualities aren't obviously attained overnight in a human being. It is a development over a period of time.
Yeah.
My question to you is that if a child is nurtured appropriately and given the Islamic education and understanding of Islam, do you think that itself is sufficient for the child to develop those qualities, him or herself? Or do you think it is a discipline in its own, this development of the feeling of gratefulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think it's a discipline on its own? Do you think it needs something else more than just educational and individual development and understanding Islam itself?
Yeah, of course education has some effect in this regard, but it's not very it's not that important. I want to say education is very good. We teach our children salat, soul, the tenets of our religion, all these things. But we have to bear in mind we are very alone in our internal life of soul, and each individual should decide for themselves. And this is very important. You find people who are brought up in a completely unreligious environment, and suddenly when they come to the age of intellectual activity, they find themselves and they grow all these different types of senses and qualities. And on the opposite, people who know everything about salat, fast and all these things, but suddenly when they come to the age that they want to decide, they think that these are not very important things. So I say for 20-30%, this has their own effects. And the effect is that when they want to decide, they can go more easily, in an easier way, because they know things. They want to do salah, so and other things. But 70% is left to us, that we decide whether we want to be grateful to Allah or not, whether we want to crave for the life after, or we just want to indulge in this life. So I can say education is very important, but more important than education is to help our children to somehow develop these qualities by themselves, rather than just telling them that this is good, this is bad, you have to do this, you have to do that. Because when they grow up, they do not listen to us. I'm sure that all of you, the older ones, have the experience that your children do not think like you. They think like themselves. They are individual people who have some sort of independence from you. So what teaching them salat, sawm and other things is, in my opinion, less important than helping them in their intellectual struggle. And in an intellectual struggle, you cannot tell them what to do and what not to do. You just can show them the goodness of some things and the badness of other things. This is the only thing that we can do, I think.
Taking time, just one comment if I may add. I feel that it is such a heavy burden on a parent, from what you said, as far as this development of a child intellectually to appreciate and understand. I am saying that releasing that individual into a society where he can socially interact with people of similar background is probably the most effective one. In a controlled environment. In other words, you make sure that your child moves around, interacts with people that you are very comfortable with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is very important because people are really influenced by each other. Yeah.
Sisters?
Yeah, there's a mic behind you.
You mentioned Nazar in your talk, and on the surface it like feels like you're offering a bribe. What is the difference between Nazar and just praying for your needs?
Offering a bribe to God to give you something. Yeah. Well, actually, as I said, it's not offering a bribe. You could put it in this way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very much worried about us, so to speak, to talk our own language. Very much worried about us. Like your child, if, for example, they want something, you say, okay, if you do good in your school, I will buy you a bicycle. But doing good in their school, is it going to benefit you or them? It's going to benefit them, of course. But since you are very worried about them, you are very much prepared to give them something for doing things for themselves. And this is like our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's very much prepared to give us something if we discipline ourselves, and if we say, okay Allah, I do this, and then you give me that thing, and well, he does, because he so much loves us and is worried about us. You could say it's a bribe, but you take it as a relationship of the parents and child rather than social relations.
Any more sisters? Sheikh, you said that when we are thankful to Allah, He increases the ni'mah into us. And those who are not thankful, they can also use the ni'mah from Allah, but then they will be punished for not being thankful. We see that those who are believers, although they are thankful, and when you look at it from the outwardly point of view of usage of the physical ni'mah that are given, it seems that those who are believers, they seem to be using less and less of the, comparatively, less and less, they use less and less of the physical ni'mah. Rather, they try to become, acquire the higher status into the spiritual ni'mah. Is that the kind of ni'mah that you are talking when Allah says, or is that the kind of ni'mah that Allah increases?
Oh, there is no difference, I think. I mean, if you are not grateful, you are spiritually actually damaging yourself, and therefore you cannot use the spiritual bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, you bar the more physical bounties coming to you. Like we have in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If the inhabitants of different cities, the human race, they had iman and they had piety, we would have opened the doors of our bounties from the earth and from the sky. Well, from the sky probably means the spiritual things, and from the earth means physical things. So all the doors would have been opened to them. But usually we are not thankful, we are not grateful. That's why we are usually in difficulty, in hardship. And of course, sometimes to acquire spiritual hefty levels, you have to sacrifice some of your physical needs. I mean, for example, if you want to have a good spiritual status, you have to fast, for example. Okay. So sometimes this is the case, that yes, if you want to reach higher and higher spiritual status, you are given less and less in the physical sense by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is for very specific people. Like the Prophet, for example. He was always poor, and even when he was the ruler, Allah did not want him to use the bounties as kings use it, for example. But this was just to look after his spiritual status and the level of spirituality that he had to acquire. Otherwise, I don't see any reason why the mu'minun shouldn't use the physical bounties that Allah would give them if they are pious, and as well as the spiritual bounties that Allah would give them.
Why I'm asking is, see, believers, I'm not talking only about the Muslims, but generally believers, they seem to be very laid back people, because they are most of the time involved in their spiritual sort of ibadat and all that. And when we come to the Muslims, we are told or sort of said that wealth, we should not build up the wealth, we should use it, and based on that we seem to be using, we don't seem to be using going out in the universe to make use of the physical ni'mah that has been given. Any believer, any, especially the Muslims, Muslim seems to be more laid back, unless somebody has a controversial view.
I don't know, maybe there's a comment here.
I mean, I think that what he's trying to say is the way Muslims used to be, and for some reason we've just forgotten about all that. Muslims were very much using their spiritual and physical na'mah, but what happened?
Yeah, you shouldn't see our present status, which we are in because of some faults in the past by our forefathers. Theoretically, there is no objection to this, but why we are like this now at this moment, of course, is due to many factors which has gone past during the history. Yeah.
Okay, sisters, or any brothers, sisters?
Okay.
Riyad.
Thank you.
No? Okay, Muhammad wa ala Muhammad sallallahu
alaihi wasallam.